Hi, this is Rick Emerson, and the following encore of Legion of News is brought to you by Squires Electric. Whether it's electrical wiring, Ethernet wiring, or wiring of any kind at all in your home or business, Squires Electric can make your life easier. Find out more at squireselectric.com or call 503-252-1609. Squires Electric.
Greetings, fellow Portlanders. From the Emerson News Network, this is Legion of News!
Atop the Milkpacking District in the heart of beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon. This, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all-important knowledge from everywhere. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Don Taylor, who is, even now as I speak these words to you, preparing information on a vast swath of happenings, including, but not limited to, the following.
A former Portland police cadet is arrested in a huge meth bust. State troopers are sent to find Wisconsin Senate Democrats, but can't figure out where they are. And Gaddafi blames the Libyan uprising on Osama bin Laden.
As always, my friends, have no doubt that this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably more intelligent than when you began this hour. And now, without further ado, pay heed! For this is Legion of News.
Good afternoon, I'm Dawn Taylor, and this is absolutely everything you need to know for Thursday, February 24th, 2011. A Portland police cadet was part of one of the largest methamphetamine busts in Bureau history. A drug investigation in Gresham, surprising, yielded one of the largest methamphetamine busts in Portland police history, a bust that included a former Portland police cadet.
How hard do you really have to investigate anything regarding drugs in Gresham? That's really just showing up.
You just gotta open a door.
That's just kind of just going there and looking around and going there, there, also there, 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 and there, plus over there, also everywhere else.
Eladio Luna, 21, and 18-year-old Ignacio Luna were taken into custody and charged with manufacturing of a controlled substance, delivery of a controlled substance, and possession of a controlled substance in the first degree.
His name's Eladio Luna. I'm sorry. I don't know why I was doing that.
No, it's Luna, not Luna, because it doesn't have one of those squiggly things, squiggly Mexican things over the N.
Yes, that is true. There's a whole story there that we're not going to bother people with because it would just sound stupid.
Right.
Squiggly Mexican thing.
Unlike what we just said.
Was it a squiggly Mexican thing or a Mexican squiggly thing? What did Greg call that?
I think he called it a Mexican squiggly thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's my favorite snack. It's a taste of marzipan.
Eladio participated in the cadet program from October of 2008 to May of 2010 when he resigned from his post. On Tuesday, investigators from the Drugs and Vice Division stopped a car, leaving a home that was suspected in the investigation. A canine detected drugs in the car, so investigators obtained a search warrant for the car, another vehicle, and the house. Ensuing searches yielded 24 pounds of meth, worth over $1 million in street value, according to Portland police. With his control on power faltering, Muammar Gaddafi delivered another rambling monologue on state TV today about the causes of Libya's week-long unrest, which he identified as hallucinogenic drugs and Osama bin Laden.
Not Jews.
No, not this time.
Because normally it's Jews that he goes to there. That's sort of his, like, when you end a fortune cookie with, like, in bed, you know, everything in Muammar Gaddafi's worldview, da-da-da-da-da, because of the Jews. But now it's hallucinogenic drugs and Osama bin Laden, one of which explains the other, by the way.
Right. He reprimanded residents of the eastern town of Zawiya, saying, "Shame on you, people of Zawiya. Control your children. What do you have to do with bin Laden, people of Zawiya? They are exploiting young people. I insist it is bin Laden." In addition to claiming that protesters are loyal to bin Laden, Gaddafi claimed that the unrest was carried by young men hopped up on hallucinogenic pills given to them in their coffee with milk like Nescafe.
Did he really say hopped up, or did the translator say hopped
no,
up?
No, that is a direct quote. Hopped up on hallucinogenic pills given to them in their coffee with milk like Nescafe.
Okay.
Meanwhile, the New York Times reports that mercenary and irregular forces are clashing with protesters outside the capital of Tripoli.
I'm unclear about this. So what is going on? In other words, when he's saying he's losing his grip on power, well, he's a dictator. The whole point of that is that...
Well, dictators are, you know, overthrown. People take to the streets.
True.
Everybody goes crazy. You kill the right bunch of guys.
I guess that's
you
right.
know.
So is his own. So is this a thing where his own military is sort of going like, this guy's nuts? He's
pretty much.
He's the one who's hopped up on something. So is so there. So
he's plus he's getting old. You
old
know.
He's losing his... not everybody can be Fidel, you know. That's
yeah.
the thing. Fidel's sort of the gold standard. Everybody kind of measures themselves against him. But even Fidel, he knew when to step down and let his sort of swishy brother decide to run the country.
And it probably... I mean, the things that we don't know anything about, it probably has a lot to do with, like, which governments with whopping piles of cash are, you know, bankrolling who at this particular time. And that's the sort of thing that... You know, we'll never actually know about.
Also, you got to figure that it's not like it's outside the realm of possibility that we are, in fact, just dosing him with some sort of drug.
Yeah.
Since we plan to do that to Fidel Castro several times, and also to make his beard fall out, and I swear to God, and to give him an exploding cigar. Well, none of which ever really, and it's one of the great regrets, I would think, of U.S. foreign policy, that none of those things ever came to fruition. Because how great would that have been if Fidel Castro had been on the, you know, if he'd just been on sort of statewide television and sort of lecturing us about the, and I say to you, you are the evil empire, bang! And then it's just like the Bugs Bunny thing of like the flattened cigar and the big, you know, sooty face.
Well, actually, speaking of things that we do in the U.S., I was saving the story for the next hour. But Rolling Stone has a story right now about a top general in Afghanistan who was instructing the people under his command to use psyops on visiting, like, senators and politicians from the U.S. to make them be more in support of the war.
When you say psyops,
like slipping them drugs and using like fancy wordplay and all the weird psychological conditioning stuff that they do.
All right then.
On like actual senators who are visiting over there.
I sort of assume I've always figured this. I have always assumed that any of those guys like your Stephen Coveys and your Tony Robbins that they also have just a lucrative sideline on the government payroll. Where there's just, you know, where Tony Robbins is in a room somewhere talking to a guy about how best to beat a confession out of some dude in the basement of Guantanamo.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like the waterboarding's just not working. Maybe you find an action trigger point, you know, or you find a, you know, if you find that maybe a board to his testicles isn't quite getting the, you know, slamming his junk in a drawer isn't yielding the results you want. Have you tried neuro-linguistic programming? Have you tried using positive cucumber-based imagery or something?
Yes, I would ask you where the WMDs are, but that would be below me.
It seems like there's a really...
The only thing I know about NLP, by the way, is stuff that was used by the speed dating guy. That's why I know to use words like below me.
That NLP thing is, that's where I got the fantastic phrase, New Direction.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a guy, you know, I'd like to take this date in an exciting new direction. Would you like to know more about my new direction? Wah, wah, wah. And then it's like the girl doesn't have any idea what you're doing.
No, you're not creepy at all.
It's, for reasons that she can't explain, she suddenly wants to take you home and do you.
That'll be $350 for the seminar where you learned this, please.
Seriously. You were listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. Coming up later on the show, we got your entertainment news, also your science on the march. Send us all your money. You can get this program later on the day if you'd like via iTunes. Also, as a direct MP3 download here or at legionofnews.com. That is here at legionofnews.com. You can also get it on your mobile device. It is mobile.cascadia.fm. Mobile.cascadia.fm. Here is Don Taylor.
Well, also on the Libyan front, there's concern about the long-term impact that it will have on oil prices worldwide. Commodities analyst Philip Silverman says another country in the region will be able to step in if oil production in Libya slows significantly.
Well, I think they're experiencing...
That's not Philip Silverman.
No, it's really not. What
I mean,
cut
it
is this?
Might be. Oil?
Oh,
one?
I'm sorry. I was playing another Libya cut. Hold on a second. There we go.
Saudi Arabia can make up the shortfall. And it's going
to... That's right. That's something.
Saudi Arabia can make up the shortfall. And it's going to take up somewhere between a third and a half of their excess production. But they can do it.
Silverman, huh?
Silverman. Hmm. Silverman says if the political upheaval continues to spread in the region, he wouldn't rule out $5 a gallon gasoline later this year.
If we do see some issues with Saudi Arabia or possibly Iran or Iraq or other large producers, it is possible. It is possible. I wouldn't say it's a highly probable outcome.
Yes, because what are the odds that we'll ever have any difficulties in the near future with Iraq or Iran or Saudi Arabia or Libya? Seems like it's just so far outside the realm of possibility that anybody there might decide to start causing trouble. Here's a question I have. Every 30 or 60 days or some story that they float about how, really the time of the apocalypse is at hand because those countries are about to develop nuclear technology. Like, Iran has been about to develop nuclear technology for like 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember when I was a kid and Dan Rather would come on every night and he would say, courage, mom, or whatever, and then they would show the hostages and it was, day 290. And then some guy would always get on and just start bumping his gums about how Iran was, like, just months away from being able to, do a thing. Split something or fission something or merge something with something else and weaponize it. And then they were going to have nuclear weapons. Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem like it's all that hard. I mean, like, I couldn't do it. But it seems like if you're a scientist in Iran or you're a scientist here, science is just science.
Yeah.
I don't understand what the X factor is, why they're not able to do it.
I don't know. I mean, when you figure they... I mean, honestly, though, they buy all their weapons from us. So it's kind of, and the Russians... So, if they aren't even able to, like, manufacture their own machine guns, are we really supposed to believe that they're, like, all over the nuclear technology?
I guess. Although, doesn't it seem like stuff just vanishes from Russia all the time and nobody knows where it went?
Yeah.
Like, where are the warheads? I don't know. Was here this morning. I leave for lunch. I come back. It's gone. That's all I know. And that's it. And it's, and it's just sort of floating around somewhere.
Your Russian accent is awesome, by the way. Your Russian. You just did Russian guy, and that was great.
Here's the thing, though. If you put that in a vocal lineup, there's like 100 out of 100 people would know exactly what I was doing right there. They go, oh, he's a Russian guy, and he's drunk. You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascade. I model him on Brian Brown. It's Don Taylor.
Wisconsin state troopers were dispatched Thursday to try and find at least one of the 14 Senate Democrats who have been on the run for 8 days to delay a vote on Republican Governor Scott Walker's proposal to strip collective bargaining rights from nearly all public employees. Meanwhile, the state assembly appeared close to voting on the union rights bill after 2 days of filibustering the measure with a blizzard of amendments. Democrats reached an early morning deal after 43 hours of debate to limit the number of remaining amendments and spend time on each. Troopers went to multiple homes Thursday morning, hoping to find at least one of the 14 Democrats, some of whom were rumored to have made short trips home to pick up clothes and other necessities before again fleeing the state. But they came up empty-handed.
Are you kidding me?
Senate Sergeant-at-Arms Ted Blazel.
Is this where, like, the wife wakes up in the middle of the night and she goes downstairs and the husband is there and he's got the black eyeliner underneath his eyes, like on Hogan's Heroes, so he doesn't get spotted by the searchlight?
Honey, your Lexus is in the driveway. Shh. No one must know.
You didn't see me.
Republican Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald, who hoped sending the move to send the troopers would pressure the Democrats to return, said, "Every night we hear about some that are coming back home, but apparently they can't find them."
Are they just all huddled in like a Holiday Inn somewhere? Is it like a Howard Johnson's or something? And they're all just like lurking in one room, and occasionally from the outside you just see the blinds part, and an eye looks out and just nope, and shuts again.
At the fabulous country estate of some other Democratic senator or something from a neighboring state. So they're like over the state line, but they're like, living at some guy's mansion.
They're living at, in the gazebo out back of Colonel Sanders' house or something.
Yeah. So that happened. They didn't find it. They're still hiding. Meanwhile, state workers in Wisconsin are calling for the biggest rallies yet amid the budget standoff in the state. Teamsters President Jim Hoffa, where have we heard
Sounds
that name
familiar.
Before? Thinks what's happening to union members in Wisconsin is part of a much larger conspiracy.
Right to work has been introduced in 13 states simultaneously. Does anybody think that's a coincidence? I mean, we know what's going on here.
Is it James Hoffa? Is that what we call him now? Or Jim?
Jim Hoffa.
Okay. If you're Jim Hoffa, do you suppose that you would be more or less concerned that you would at some point end up like in a barrel floating in the Aegean Sea?
I don't, maybe less.
It's a lightning doesn't strike twice sort of a thing.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like maybe that he just figures, yeah, it would just be, it's too predictable that they would come after him, so he's just sort of invulnerable. Or on the other hand, you got to figure that maybe not. Maybe they figure that they're going to look, you know, like if something were to happen to him, and I'm not saying it should, but if something were to happen to him, maybe whoever would do that would assume that they wouldn't look all that hard. Because there's a history of not finding Hoffas when they're missing.
Then again, if your name is Jim Hoffa, what other line of work were you going to go into?
No, this is really like your destiny.
You know, grew up being bounced on a Big Tony's knee, you know, so what else are you going to do?
This was predetermined.
Hoffa says unionized government employees in other states are dealing with a similar situation.
The same thing that's going on here is going on in Indiana. It's going on in Ohio. Then they're going to do it in Minnesota. Then they're going to do it here. That's what the battle is.
Yeah, they should do some sort of a reality show where, like, one of the Libyan protesters has to swap with one of the Wisconsin protesters.
Yeah.
You know, like it's a guy who's picketing outside the school board office because they want more donuts or whatever it is they want, you know, is it something? And, you know, and then the guys in Libya who, I don't know, want to not be under the rule of a despot. And then they just have to, you know, they spend like 2 weeks. Yeah. He's a Libyan. He's a Wisconsin.
It's called, you know, protest swap.
Yeah.
And they have to live with each other's families.
Yeah. And it's and you call it like you call it the. There's really no alliteration you can do with cheesehead.
No.
Check. Libyan and the...
No.
No, there's nothing. Wisconsin and the... Something in the man.
Yeah.
No, I got nothing. No, but it's... So I'm just saying, it's if anybody out there is looking for, you know, looking to cash in real quick, you know, that's, just, you know, strike while the iron is hot. Just get your film crew down there. Here's Don Taylor.
The Russian government recently embarked on an alcohol crackdown, but until now, beer has eluded its grasp. That's because beer was somewhat appropriately categorized as a foodstuff, allowing brewers to avoid new regulations being rolled out to curb excessive drinking in Russia. On Tuesday, the lower house of the Russian parliament endorsed a bill to classify beer as alcohol. If the Kremlin-backed measure passes, it will limit beer sales at night and bar beer from being sold near schools.
By the way, I think we've uncovered the root of Russia's alcohol problem in that they're such drunks they didn't even consider beer to be... Like, beer was a training wheel
for them.
Beer was just sort of, yeah, it wasn't
beer
even...
Beer is like liquid bread, really, when you think about it.
They didn't even classify it as alcohol. It was just sort of a... It bore a passing resemblance to alcohol, but it wasn't what you'd consume if you really wanted to be drunk.
Well, yeah, beer is not Russia's traditional alcohol of choice, but it has been a problem for people who have been accustomed to drinking a lot of vodka, but now Russia has been sort of cracking down on vodka sales to try and keep people from being so drunk all of the time.
Well, and one of the things they're doing is they're charging, like, for a fifth of vodka now, it costs the equivalent of, like, $275.
Yeah.
That's their whole... Because that works really well. If you want to keep people from things, you just make sure that it's really expensive. Because what they certainly won't do is go loot and rob and make their own.
Yeah, that too. According to Reuters, the problem being that because vodka became so prohibitively expensive and sold in just narrow hours and all that sort of thing, but beer was still just readily available. Because they said many ordinary Russians regard beer as a soft drink. So beer consumption has tripled in Russia over the past 15 years, although it still lags behind the United States. Russians drink 32 pints of pure alcohol per year, over twice the maximum amount recommended by the World Health Organization.
I mean, just think of how, I mean, and realize that for the longest time, I mean, if you're looking at a good, I don't know, certainly a good 35, 40 years, they were, except for the United States, they were a nearly unrivaled superpower. And that's with consuming 32 ounces of pure alcohol a year. Imagine what they've been able to do if they were sober.
I know.
I mean, really, we should thank our lucky stars that they were all just abusing their bodies so fervently. Because I think they would have had superpowers if they'd been sober half the time.
Well, one of the problems, and I love the way, this is one of those things that it takes you a second to think about. And then you go, oh, when it says it was completely just very straightforward statement. The nation's alcohol habits are having a severe effect on its population growth. What sort of effect does too much drinking have on men?
I see. I understand. So the missile can't quite leave the silo.
I'm thinking that's the
that's
issue.
What you're saying there.
And they're going, oh, damn, we better, like, make people stop drinking so much.
Well, it's funny when they talk about trying to limit the amount of alcohol people consume by making it really expensive and minimizing the hours during which it can be sold. So we had Bill Carter on the Rick Emerson Show yesterday, and he was talking about this book, Red Summer, which is about living in Alaska in the fishing village of Igigik. And which, by the way, I said like 17 times without fail and without flaw yesterday. It was a thing I was very proud of myself.
I was proud of you. Igigik.
But Alaska has the highest rate of alcoholism in the continental United States. And yet, if you are in one of those, like if you're in Bristol Bay or any of those fishing villages in Alaska, you can only, the liquor stores there are only open 2 hours a day. They are open from noon to two. That's it. And yet they still, you know. So really, but as we all know, there's nobody motivated like a junkie. Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't really matter, you know, what hurdles lie between you and well, goddamn, Russia's that place where they couldn't get the silo doors open because they found that guys were just drinking the hydraulic fluid.
Oh, yeah.
Just come back and, Bob, we can't seem to get this open. Why are they, you know, and then meanwhile there's, you know. Slowpoke Rodriguez is in the corner with his, you know, having a siesta with, like, little drunk bubbles, you know, floating around his head because he's just, you know, siphoned it all away. Isn't that the guy? Wasn't that Speedy Gonzalez's drunken cousin?
Something like that. Yeah. So the Russian equivalent of...
Yeah. Whoops. Slowpoke Levinkovich.
There we go. I was confused because his name was Rodriguez, and I was trying to figure that out.
I don't know. I was gonna reference that Warner Brothers stork, but I can never remember his name.
Yeah.
I don't think he has a name.
No. He's a He would hick though, and the bubbles would come out of his giant.
This giant baby, huge. Yeah. Yeah. And he was just in. Meanwhile, and then they cut to the giant who has the jeweler's glass in, trying to change the diapers on a regular human baby.
Yes.
Yeah. And because I can only reference things in terms of cartoon characters, I have no actual knowledge about real people or human beings.
No.
So.
A 31-year-old Michigan man was arrested on Saturday morning by Warren, Michigan police, after he told a clerk that he was the king and didn't have to pay for cigarettes. He was accused of threatening a clerk at the 7-Eleven store at Schoenherr and 12 Mile Roads and with fighting with police. The police had obtained a warrant over the weekend charging Joseph Lawrence Borowiak. Joseph Lawrence Borowiak, who gave an address of living in Sandusky, Ohio, with strong arm robbery and resisting and obstructing officers. Apparently, a 62-year-old clerk from the store said that Borowiak, who was wearing a blue bandana over his face, walked into the 7-Eleven at 6:30 a.m. and asked for a pack of cigarettes. When she asked for $6, he said, "The king doesn't pay for cigarettes."
Well, that is true.
Then he lunged across the counter and tried to grab the cigarettes. As he went around the counter, the clerk dialed 911 and told police what was happening. So the suspected, he yelled stuff to the officers that he didn't do anything. They tackled him to the ground and attempted to handcuff him, but he was wearing several layers of clothing. So they ended up just shoving him into a car, taking him away. And, he had been convicted in 2005 for possession of cocaine.
You know, really, this is no way to treat the ruler of the fiefdom, though.
The king.
I mean, it's such a disrespect.
The king of Sandusky, Ohio.
You know, it's got to be... It's like being the mattress king of Akron. It's got to be frustrating. I mean, as much as I would just like to be crazy sometimes, because you feel like then you're just sort of, you know, you're just floating on your own sort of pink cloud of whatever. You can just kind of paint your own reality. It must be frustrating to be certain stripes of crazy. Like, you know, because my wife deals with the crazy people all day. And occasionally, like, I was like dropping off... I don't know, I was like dropping off... lunch for something, or I car keys or whatever, but I had to go visit her at her work. And so I'm there, and it's like, you know, they got the guys who are out, like, in the day room or whatever. And it was, I don't know, it was like 3 p.m., and it was time for everybody's medication or something, time for everybody's dosage. And there's a guy, and he's, like, watching TV or reading a magazine, and she goes, okay, Mr. Lipinski, it's time for meds. And he just goes, "Nah, I'm the president, go away." And that was, and he just, like, went back to his magazine. And it was like, oh. And I sort of left because I didn't really want to see the president shamed in that way when they just said,
no.
"Oh, okay, taser," you know, and then the guy just comes in with a stun gun and the strappy jacket that they put on him. So, I mean, if you just walk through life thinking you are the president, I mean, in the way that only crazy people really can, it must be really confusing and I would imagine not a little irritating when your subjects are disobeying you for no reason.
Yeah.
It's like being Muammar Gaddafi every day.
Yes.
But it's like being this version of Muammar Gaddafi every day.
Yeah. I'm glad that my own delusions of grandeur don't, like, extend that far.
No, and the guy was so great. He was not, like, angry about it at all. He just, it was sort of matter of fact. Like, no, the president doesn't wish to take his medication. Leave me now. And that was it. It was just very, you know.
Yeah, and the king doesn't pay for cigarettes.
That's right.
The Portland City Council plans to take up the topic of possibly rejoining the Joint Terrorism Task Force when it convenes on March 10th. The hearing, which was scheduled to take place this afternoon, was postponed so city staffers could finalize input and issue a draft proposal for the public. Concerns over inclement weather also prompted the delay. I don't know if you noticed.
Looking out the window right now, there's no snow anywhere.
It's hideous outside. It's Snowpocalypse. It's Snow MG. It's
No.
Snowlandia with a bird on it.
Yeah. How great was that?
Oh, God.
By the way, so Cheryl sent that to me. I passed it along to you.
Did Cheryl actually make that?
Oh, no.
What? That actually came from WGN.
That's from KGW.
KGW actually then made Snowlandia logo with a bird on it.
With a bird on it. No. That's not... No, we didn't have to go to the trouble of making our own. She sent that to me last night. She actually just... let's see if I can find it. I've got the greatest series of messages from Cheryl. I'm looking at the Snowlandia thing right now, and it's just awesome. It's awesome only because when I saw it, my first thought was, ooh, must send it to Dawn. Immediately. Like, that was the first thing I did.
It just made me angry.
Yeah.
And irrationally angry when I realized there's no reason for me to even care.
No.
But it just makes me so angry when people who represent our city in such a, you know, widely watched fashion as the people on the local news do things that are so freaking retarded.
Let me just, so I've got these messages. This is from Cheryl last night. Let's see. She says, this is at 4:01 p.m. yesterday, Wednesday. Cheryl messages me via Skype. She says, they have bumped regular programming on KGW because of weather. What is wrong with Portland? And then I said something or other, and then she followed up like 10. It's that thing where, like, I don't even really need to respond to her to keep the conversation going, because it's like I am just, it's just like a stock ticker of anger from her. You know, where it's like the guy's just there reading the ticker tape, and he's like, okay, AT&T up 3, you got your IBM down 2. From Cheryl, it's just this endless stream of, like, angry observations about the way that the news is conducted here. So, like, 4 minutes later, I get this one. They have morons standing at overpasses showing that although it looks fine now, there was snow this morning. I hate people. And then it was like an hour and a half later, she sent me this link and she said, God damn, look at this. And I clicked it and it was like, there's like KGW's Snowlandia logo, which in fact does have a bird on it. And so I immediately was like, I got to send this to Dawn.
Thanks. Yeah. Yeah, I turned on the TV this morning and of course saw like a weather guy standing... I think it was KPTV, whichever guy that is. Of course, they always send them up to Skyline because they're guaranteed there'll be snow on Skyline. And like, look, I'm standing in the snow. And I'm like, shut up. And then my job, of course, to find news to read here today to talk about. And I go online and local Portland news. Oh, forget that.
Hellstorm. There's 2011.
Nothing to read about how it's snowing and it could snow and there might be snow and how to drive in the snow and how and about previous snowstorms we've had in the past and that they were bad. And it's like shut up.
Here's the really astounding thing about. I mean, and I know that this has sort of become like its own. This has kind of become its own trope. It's a trope within a trope that every year it's like the local news, especially KGW, seems to fixate on the idea that we might get a light dusting of snow from somewhere, and then it's become a thing that now that we're just sort of reflexively forced, just by dint of, you know, thinking, to observe how dumb that is. But really, when you think of it, it's astounding. They bumped Oprah yesterday to talk about this. Oprah got preempted, and the thing is, that's. I mean, A, she's Oprah, and it seems like you know, the king doesn't pay for cigarettes, and Oprah's show doesn't get bumped. And also, that's, I mean, serious money. I mean, there's real money at stake in the Oprah show in terms of advertising, and they bumped Oprah to point at a place on the ground where snow might eventually be. It was just astounding.
God, I hate them so much.
Yeah. So forth. You're listening to Legion of News. Thank you for joining us. It is Thursday, February 24th. 2011. Coming up next hour is the Rick Emerson radio program, a cavalcade of whimsy, the likes of which the world has never known, but which you, yes, you, can enjoy for just 32 cents a day, which is a steal, a giveaway, really. It's almost like we're paying you. You do that by going to rickemersonshow.com. You can subscribe for 32 cents a day, and of course you can listen for a week for free. So if you get to the end of that week and just decide that you know, the show's terrible and, in fact, the worst thing you've ever heard, you know, you can kind of get out without having to pay for it. So it's a week free, and it's 32 cents a day for the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Coming up next hour, that begins. We got a Taser Watch coming up today, Corpse Watch coming up today. We'll talk about last night's episode of Justified. We will finally discuss a little bit of the Breaking Bad thing, because you watched season one of Breaking Bad, and then we got another installment of Greatest Songs Ever Made. So that's all coming up next hour at the Rick Emerson Show. Here's Don Taylor.
By the way, trending tweets about KGW. No, I'm just that there are these great people commenting on KGW, saying things like, "Is this a joke? Reporter standing in Pioneer Square reporting on snow. No snow anywhere in the frame."
Cheryl says, "Today they brushed some snow off of a ledge to prove that it had snowed at least an inch." Wow.
Oh, Portland.
God damn. All right, here's Don Taylor.
Let's do our science.
The funny thing is it's... never mind. Here's your science on the march. Brought to you by Squires Electric. SquiresElectric.com is the website, or 503-252-1609. Here's Don Taylor.
Organ transplant rules may change to prioritize young people for donations, reports the Washington Post. The nation's organ transplant network is mulling a proposal to discard its long-standing practice of giving organs to those who have been waiting the longest. Instead, the new rules would try to make the organ last as long as possible. "We're trying to utilize best the gift of the donated organ," said the chair of the committee that's reviewing the system. The group is the United Network for Organ Sharing, UNOS. It's a nonprofit group contracted by the federal government to decide how organs are doled out.
Organ sharing is sort of an interesting. That makes it seem like it's like a condo you get to visit once every 3 months or something.
Yeah, like I get my kidney back, you know, on the weekends.
Yeah, like you and I have to sort of each plug into the heart, you know, for a few hours a day.
Is my mic staticky or is it just me hearing it? Okay. The changes would be the biggest to the system in 25 years. Some bioethicists think it's a great idea. Others say it discriminates against people in their 50s and 60s who could live for another 20 years with the help of a new organ. There are 87,000 Americans waiting for kidneys, but only 17,000 get them each year, which means that 4,600 die while waiting.
This would just be, you know, it would be so much simpler if we just allowed people. I would check the adapter to make sure the adapter is screwed on properly. The adapter, is that the kind that screws on?
Yeah,
that's probably come loose. Your connection's probably loose now. This would all be, we could just obviate this, a large section of this problem, if we would just allow people to buy and sell organs, which sounds ridiculous, but it's also, it doesn't seem like it could be, either your body belongs to you or it doesn't. If your body belongs to you and you got a kidney and you want to sell it to somebody for 10 grand and he wants to pay it, you ought to be able to do that.
I would think so.
I mean, so there's really no reason.
I can understand the reasons why they think it would be a bad idea to set that sort of precedent.
See, I don't, though.
Well, I think the idea is then you would have people just get knocked off and their kidneys taken away and sold. But if you set a system in place where it has to be like...
No, but I'm not when you're saying dead. I mean, I'm saying like if you wanted to donate a kidney, like it wouldn't be...
Right.
There'd be no reason to kill somebody. Like they could just sell it to you.
Exactly. Yeah. No, I know what you're talking about. And I agree with you. I think that you ought to be able to... Because you can donate other parts of yourself for things. You can give someone your bone marrow. You can... I think you can give someone part of your liver if they need it.
Yeah.
You know,
it's one of those things where it's...
So why can't you sell it to
them? That's the thing. It's like, how is it illegal to sell something that it's legal to give away? That's the thing I don't understand. It just makes no sense at all.
I'm sorry. I was pounding my Visa down.
You knocked the whole thing off. You set the can down on the table and the entire station just went off the air for a second.
I feel that strongly about it.
You know, that's the... never mind. I was going to go back to the weather thing again. You know, in places now, it's not like Iran is really a model of personal freedom. But you know, in Iran, you're allowed to sell your organs, and I don't mean that as a setup to a wacky thing like where the state comes and like, you know, like in exchange for giving them a kidney, like you get to see your mother one last time or something. But like, you know, in Iran, there is a regulated but free market for the sale of organs between people, and you know, there are no waiting lists there for organs. So just FYI,
I'm just saying.
In another story, dark testicles might protect birds from mutation, according to scientists.
Is that like dark matter?
No, it's nothing like that at all. These findings could explain why inky testicles are mysteriously found throughout the animal kingdom. Scientists found on the pigment melanin, which gives human skin its color, they were focusing on that. Curiously, researchers have also seen melanin in the testes of a variety of species and all vertebrate groups. However, why this pigment is there and what it might do was unknown. Melanin is also an antioxidant that can protect the body against reactive oxygen species, harmful compounds that damage DNA. As such, scientists reasoned that melanin in testicles might guard against genetic mutations in sperm. Evolutionary biologist Ismail Galvan at the University of Paris Sud in France and his colleagues studied 134 species of birds, concentrating on mutation rates in their mitochondria, which helps cells respire oxygen and possess their own DNA. Sperm need a lot of oxygen, and any mutations in mitochondria could hamper sperm and hobble a bird's chance at reproduction. The researchers found that 42 species of birds with testicles darkened by melanin, such as owls and thrushes, had relatively higher mutation rates in their mitochondria than the 92 other birds without dark testicles. They also discovered that melanin was most often seen in testicles during the breeding seasons of birds when sperm was likely generated. There was no link seen between darkness of plumage and darkness of testicles.
Seamus is insisting that somebody form a goth industrial band called Dark Testicles.
I mainly just read that story because I wanted to say the word testicles
yes.
several times.
Dark testicles sounds like a thing you don't want.
No, and yet apparently it's...
You do.
Or not. I couldn't tell because at first it sounded like...
Well, it protects...
It would protect you, but then they said that...
It protects the sperm from being killed by something.
Yeah.
A thing.
And yet the owls that had lighter testicles... Yeah, the lighter testicles, they had higher mutation rates. That's right. So, yeah. So, yes.
Because it stops radiation from
right.
the sun and, you know,
and it
whatever.
Protects the oxygen and the mitochondria.
This is another way in which my whiteness is just a severe... really, it's unbelievably difficult to be white, Don. You have no... What with my pale testicles and my constant mutating?
Is that a problem in the Emerson household?
I don't know.
Your constant breeding of mutations?
I don't know what's going on in my head today.
Is that why there are no pictures of your children in your wallet?
Yes. I'm having to constantly repave the basement floor. Listener Keelan just observes, man, I love my dark testicles. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Oh, God. Okay. Rapper Kanye West's latest video could cause epileptic seizures, according to British experts. People with photosensitive epilepsy should not watch All of the Lights, featuring Rihanna and said the UK charity Epilepsy Action. The charity claimed the extensive use of flashing imagery could trigger seizures in some people.
Like the idea that a Kanye West video can actually just kill its viewers.
They just fall to the ground in seizures like The Simpsons watching that Japanese game show.
Seriously?
Or whatever it was.
God damn.
The video, which does not carry a warning alerting viewers to the risks, because why would it really, was examined by experts at Cambridge Research Systems, who found it contains flashes at a rate high enough to trigger seizures. By today, the video had already been viewed almost 5 million times on YouTube.
I'm totally going there right now. That's the thing.
Epilepsy Action spokeswoman Amy G said, "We are deeply concerned that this video may be harmful to some people with photosensitive epilepsy. We are doing all we can to warn people who may be affected not to watch the Kanye West video." The charity said it contacted Kanye West's representative, YouTube, and other online sources to ask that they take the video down.
Kanye West doesn't care about epileptics.
No.
All right. What is the name of the song?
The song is called
All of the Lights. Oh, I see.
And
all right.
Yes.
We'll go ahead. Maybe we'll play that We'll lead with that as the interlude between this program and Legion of News. It won't have the same effect, unfortunately. But what are you going to do? Ooh, hey! But we could do some sort of a mega mix where it's this and then what's her name, Mary Hart from Entertainment Tonight. Do you remember that thing about her voice gave that guy seizures?
Yeah, or somebody's dog. Didn't it give somebody's dog a heart attack or something?
Well, that may also be true, but Mary Hart, who was the host of Entertainment Tonight way back in the 80s, her voice, and this is chronicled in the Journal of the American Medical Association. This is not like an urban legend. Her voice actually was at exactly the right frequency that it gave seizures to this guy in Maine, which is sort of great, you know, in the sense that, like, I don't know. That's just that is part of the endless variations and textures in the makeup of the human tapestry. That there is a guy somewhere who can just, like, the secret weapon against him is Mary Hart.
A German man, tired of relying on public services to ferry him around in his wheelchair, has developed a crowdsourced iPhone app with info and access to public places. Although Raoul Krauthausen doesn't lament the services available for the physically handicapped in Germany, where he lives. There are special taxis and grocery delivery, etc. He wanted more flexibility. Sometimes I feel like I'm treated like a child who isn't allowed to decide specific things by myself, said the 30-year-old, who suffers from a genetic disorder that makes his bones brittle. I want to remain flexible and not be dependent on when a driving service has time to pick me up.
Sounds like he's probably flexible enough.
Or not. Well, he's not really.
Look how easily he bends.
So he developed website wheelmap.org, which now has 300 new user ratings daily for a total of info on 30,000 locations. For now, the bulk of the information, around 80% of the tag spots, are in Germany, but site ratings for cities like London and New York are slowly growing. On the Wheelmap iPhone app, locations are tagged as either green, yellow, or red, totally, partially, or not at all accessible. Unrated locations are gray. The latest version of the free app offers Japanese language support and a number of bug fixes.
My father-in-law is in a wheelchair, and his website of choice, because he doesn't travel a lot, but if he's going to be going out, they go to Vegas sometimes. If they're going to be traveling, if he has to go to an airport or something, the website that he and a lot of his compatriots use is called GimpOnTheGo.com, which is awesome.
I like that.
It's great, and the logo for Gimp, it's like the little stick person in a wheelchair that they use for like the handicap parking space, but he's. But he's got like little action lines behind him as he's whizzing off down the road toward adventure. So GimpOnTheGo.com.
One of my husband's favorite things to do if we are out in public, and I'm sure you'll appreciate this, you've told me about your interactions with Laura sometimes in public places. We will be somewhere like a movie or wherever, and if I am having like a particularly bad knee day and I have my cane with me, I'll ask him to give me a hand with something, and in a very loud voice he'll say, "What, are your legs broken?" Mostly because I think he just wants to see the outrage looks
awesome.
Of the people, because he's treating me horribly.
Are we still in science?
We are now
news?
Done with science.
Okay. God damn it. All right, I'm just going to close all of these. I'm just getting nothing but testicle comments.
No. Well,
you know how it is, Don. You're listening to Legion of News. This
Do
is Science on the March, brought to you by Squires Electric. Find out more about them by going to squireselectric.com. That is squireselectric.com. Or call 503-252-1609. That is 503-252-1609. You know what I'd forgotten about for like 30 seconds? And now just, no offense, Squires Electric, great people and all, but you know what I did? My goddamn refrigerator, which I had actually managed to block out of my, I wasn't thinking about it for like the last, you know what it is? It's like, well, I don't know what it's like, but it's a thing that I'd managed to forget about the fact that my refrigerator is now not working again, like at all. And I had moved on from that. I was living in this sort of happy ignorance for the last few minutes, where I wasn't dwelling on the fact that everything I own is just, you know, is at home, just, you know, slowly sort of half-lifing away. And now, having mentioned electricity again, now it's all just come back.
Is that why we have ice now finally in our refrigerator here?
I thought you brought that.
No,
that wasn't me.
Maybe Cheryl brought it.
No, but you know what is,
I thought you brought it because it was the only place where you could have a cold beverage now.
No, it's like I sit at home and I'm basically now living in a cave. It's like when I lived on my own in Salt Lake, and I was just, you know, I was just terrible about paying my bills. And so like eventually, like everything eventually got turned off in my home. It's like first they turned off the hot water, and then it's the electricity, and then it's like the lights and nothing. And so I would just go home and just sit and dwell in the dark, you know, like a homunculus, you know, and just waiting for the next day. But yeah, so now everything in my fridge is once again, you know, because Laura's out of town. So it's like. It's like I get, you know, it's not like I was really keeping the joint up, like, to begin with. So, I don't know what my point is here. But I have no idea whether this is because of the electrical outlet or not. It doesn't, as we've talked about this before, it doesn't seem like it could just, like, the same thing could be wrong with two refrigerators in a row, even if this fridge is a used fridge. It's just very, it's mystifying. So, that's one of those things. But it is entirely possible that there's just something wrong with that outlet, and that's why the fridge is not working. I have no idea, because I don't understand how electricity works. I mean, I really just... Electricity is a very binary thing to me. It's like it's like turning the key in your car. It's like the car either starts or it doesn't. The electricity either works properly, and it goes into your hairdryer or your whatever, or it just doesn't work properly, and then you just call a guy. So, in this case, the thing is Squires Electric, 503-252-1609. It's 503-252-1609. Or you can go to SquiresElectric.com. Free estimates up front, so you know what you're going to pay. And if it has to do with wires or wiring in your home or business, whether it is putting something in from scratch, whether it's repairing it, whether it's getting it upgraded or making sure you're going to pass the inspection, they can take care of all that. 503-252-1609. That is Squires Electric, proud sponsors of Science on the March. Here is Don Taylor at the news desk.
New home sales fell a whopping 11.2% between December and January. Kathy Fetke with Real Wealth Network says it's a true buyer's market.
With prices this low and so much to choose from,
you can't afford not to buy.
With prices this low and so much to choose from, if you're on the buying end of the deal, it's great. If you're trying to sell, not so good.
If only you had money to buy a house.
Yes.
Oh, wait, that's right. You're broke. Fetke says builders who are having a tough time unloading new homes should concentrate on new apartments.
Or maybe just not build things before you have somebody to buy them. How about that?
There's just not enough affordable living in the inner city areas. We have a really large population now that likes to live in apartments, and that is the echo boomers. That's the baby boomers' kids, and they're just coming out of college or they're in college, and they like living in apartments.
You should go first.
I was just going to, this is kind of off topic. I was going to say, did you hear the episode of Freakonomics Radio where they talked about why cities are good?
Yes.
That was really fascinating to me because it was something that I hadn't really thought about. And the idea that economically and ecologically, people living in, you know, denser, packed together environments is actually good for everyone. It's good for all of us.
Because you consume less energy and your footprint is smaller.
Yeah. We tend to think that, you know, cities are
evil.
Are dirty and bad and you know, are contributing to all of the ills of everything. And really, actually, us living in cities is a far better solution than us spreading out into suburbs.
I
had never really actually seen it that way until it was all laid out by the Freakonomics guys.
That's why I always say about the very first book, the original Freakonomics book, I always say that it was like somebody took my brain apart and polished it and then put it back together in a slightly different way. That really is... those guys are the masters of looking at something from a slightly different perspective, or looking at it, inverting something that has always been conventional wisdom and looking at it from the other side, or examining whether some sort of opposite, whether a corollary would be true, and then, you know, and laying it out in such a way. And that they do it in a way that makes it very easily understandable to a small-brained person such as myself. You listen to it and you just... There was actually an episode, I don't know if it was maybe a few weeks ago, where Stephen... Stephen Levitt was a... Dubner asked him if he voted. And Levitt gave this really, really fantastic, like, point-by-point, as only, like, an economist or a mathematician could do. He just gave this, like, really, really great point-by-point, blow-by-blow explanation of why it's mathematically unimportant that you vote. And why almost any... I think he actually ended up by saying, so really, almost anything you could be doing with your time is better than voting. And then he just sort of, and then they went, and then they just did the Freakonomics is, you know, presented by National Public Radio. And they just ended on that note. But that, that episode was actually really, really great, where they talked about the city living and versus country living and so forth. Now we're just talking about people, other people who actually do know things.
Right.
We're referencing other people who are intelligent.
But we're helping the listeners know that there are other things out there they could also listen to in addition to us.
And
to
Emerson Show.
To gain more knowledge. Yeah,
yes.
That's it.
Well, you know, if you're dumb, you surround yourself with smart people, Don. That's what I've learned in my life.
UK Deputy Prime Minister Nick Clegg said he forgot he was running the country as hundreds of British nationals remained stranded in Libya yesterday. Clegg, who was left in charge while Prime Minister David Cameron was visiting the Middle East and North Africa, said he was hoping to take the end of the week off. Asked if he was in charge of the nation, Clegg told British newspaper The Metro, "Yeah, I suppose I am. I forgot about that."
Okay.
"People forget there are emails and there's BlackBerry. I'm holding the fort, but I'm hoping to take the end of the week off with my kids. Someone else will have to do it then. It sounds more haphazard than it probably is," he added. However, his spokeswoman dismissed the comment as a joke, mm-hmm. made before the interview had actually started. It's half term, which is a school vacation in Britain, and Deputy Prime Minister has been working on parliamentary business for the first half of the week. Now he's taking a couple of days off with his children. His comments were deemed to be particularly insensitive as hundreds of British nationals were struggling to return home from Libya. The UK government was strongly criticized for responding too slowly to the crisis, with many of the stranded claiming that they've been ignored. Opposition party leaders seized on Clegg's words. Michael Duggar of the Labour Party worked in Downing Street when Gordon Brown was prime minister, and he said, "Nick Clegg is clueless. He doesn't even know if he's supposed to be minding the store or not."
Awesome. You are listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. Don't forget, you can get this program later on the day via iTunes or as a direct MP3 download here or at legionofnews.com. Coming up next hour, by the way, at rickemersonshow.com, we got your Taser Watch, Corpse Watch coming up today. Clue number 4 in the EH Vending Name That Snack contest. By the way, I had the best thing this morning. No, I'll talk about it next hour. I want to get off track.
I think I saw you eating something in the in there that looked in the break room that looked looked tasty.
It was wonderful. Taser Watch, Corpse Watch, clue number 4 in the EH Vending Name That Snack contest. We've also got another installment of the greatest songs ever made, and we'll talk about last night's episode of Justified. Here is Don Taylor.
Let's do our entertainment news.
Entertainment news for Thursday at Legion of News.
On Wednesday, Superior Court Judge Keith Schwartz told Lindsay Lohan that he would sentence her to prison if she accepted a plea deal regarding the alleged theft of a $2,500 necklace from a jewelry store. The 24-year-old has pleaded not guilty to the charge, but if she rejects the plea deal, a hearing could occur wherein prosecutors present evidence to another judge. Schwartz added that if the judge determined a trial was necessary, Lohan could be sentenced for a probation violation and be sentenced to jail even before the theft case commences.
Goddamn, she's only 24. She's got like another 50 years of living on this planet.
And she looks 40.
Yeah, she does. She looks bad. I mean, there's no way that she... Here's the thing about Lindsay Lohan. She's got to be dead by 40 because I don't think I can imagine... You can't imagine what she would look like past the age of 40 if she looks like that now at 24.
You know, but there is always the possibility that she might somehow turn it around. I mean, the thing is, she is only 24. And I remember... You know,
when she could act?
I'm just thinking personally, I was a complete dumbass when I was 24. I mean, it's possible that she could wise up at some point. She could do a Drew Barrymore or a Robert Downey Jr. thing and finally get her crap together.
Maybe.
But the thing that makes it sad, it's kind of like when we were all watching Robert Downey Jr. implode. She actually is really talented.
Yeah.
You know, and she was at one time very pretty.
I was going to say, the problem now is, see, that's the thing, is like, I don't know how it is with you and Robert Downey Jr., but the problem with Lindsay...
He's still pretty.
See, that's the thing, though. The problem with Lindsay Lohan for me is I can now never find her pretty. No matter what she ends up like, no matter what she actually looks like in a year or 10 years, I can never, ever, ever, ever... ever again find Amy Winehouse pretty. Ever.
No.
I don't care what they did to her. I don't care if they ground her down to the bone and rebuild her. You just see her picking at sores in a restaurant somewhere, and he's like, we're done, honey. I can't ever. It's like Britney Spears. I don't know if you've seen the new Britney Spears video. I'm imagining you have not. The video for the new Britney Spears song, which is terrible.
The one that's called Hold It Against Me?
Have you heard it?
No, the title made me giggle.
It's so bad. But you look at the video for that, and I mean, if you didn't know her, if you didn't know anything about her, you would look and go, oh, what a fine-looking young lady she is. But it's like, you know, you just see her like wearing bloody period panties around and shaving her head. There's just there's no coming back from that. So that's the thing with Lindsay Lohan. She just, you know... She just looks like she just looks like she's been smoked down to the filter.
That is the name of my goth death rock band is
Period Panties.
Bloody Period Panties. Yeah. On a nicer note, actor George Clooney said that although he is an activist, he is not fit to be a politician. The 49-year-old told Newsweek, "I didn't live my life in the right way for politics, you know. I effed too many chicks and did too many drugs, and that's the truth." Clooney is funding a satellite that monitors military action in a deadly area in Sudan. "I'm not tied to the UN or the U.S. government, and so I don't have the same constraints," he added. "I'm a guy with a camera from 480 miles up. I'm the anti-genocide paparazzi."
You know, I just want to interview him just so I can ask him what it's like to be the coolest guy on Earth.
The most awesome human being on the planet.
Would you
agree
that I'm not just saying that because of the Ocean's 11 thing? Would you agree that he's the closest we have to a Sinatra in our modern world?
Yeah, only he actually genuinely seems like he's not a dirtbag.
Yeah.
That's the thing, is that Sinatra's life was fascinating.
He was a terrible person.
And he was a terrible, terrible person.
But Clooney just seems like a decent guy. Not a perfect guy, but a decent guy. And he also owns up to the fact that, that he has not led a perfect life. But he also doesn't get... The thing about Clooney is, unlike some of the... Like Leonardo DiCaprio comes to mind. Clooney somehow has that magical Teflon ability to not seem sanctimonious.
No.
He has that whole, like, well, I'm just a guy doing a thing. You know, and it's like and that's probably true for Leonardo DiCaprio. He's just a guy with a lot of money, but he comes out very smug somehow, and it's like and Clooney doesn't.
Yeah, the closest to Clooney as far as seeming probably like a genuinely nice guy, I think, would be Matt Damon.
Yeah,
Matt Damon just seems like he'd just be cool.
Yep.
Yeah. Martin Sheen talked to UK's Sky News about the addictions that afflict his son, Charlie Sheen. He's an extraordinary man, said Martin Sheen. If he had cancer, how would we treat him? This disease of addiction is a form of cancer. And if you have to have an equal measure of concern and love and lift them up, and so that's what we do for him. Sheen's brother, Emilio Estevez, added that he's not surprised by his brother's longtime battle with addiction. You get used to it. After 30 years, you build up an immunity, I guess.
Is he saying that Charlie Sheen has built up an immunity to drugs, or they have built up an immunity to Charlie Sheen?
I think that's what they're saying. It's like, yeah, he's been doing this for 30 years. Whatever.
What are you going to do?
An estimated 10 million subscribers who initially signed up for Amazon Prime to receive free two-day shipping on their orders were just handed a bonus. As of today, members have access to unlimited commercial-free streaming of more than 5,000 movies and TV shows.
Wow.
Amazon's making a concerted effort to compete with Netflix, which has more subscribers and a larger catalog, but actually costs money.
See, here's the thing. So Laura and I got this, we got the TV fund going on, and we are, I don't know, it's not going to be right away, but we are nearing the buy point of the TV fund, where it's going to be, we will have enough money there that we can actually look into a Dawn-sized, not a Dawn-sized television, you know what I mean, television of equivalent size to those purchased by, like, everybody I know.
Or perhaps acquired by me from someone else.
That's right. Some of us have to pay for our TVs, though, Dawn, and so, but we are nearing that point, and then it's in Seamus, the first thing he was like, get it through Prime! Which is that two-day or next-day delivery or something? He was just going on about what a great deal that is.
Yeah, I've had Amazon Prime for a couple of years now, and every March when it comes around, like next month, I got the thing where it was like, it's coming up, you have to pay for it. And every March, I'm like,
Now, see, I'd never even heard of it.
It costs like $70, $75.
But is it everything you buy gets delivered within 48 hours or something?
Everything that they sell that is shipped through Amazon.
Right.
So it doesn't count for like associate businesses who ship from their own warehouses, but anything that comes to you through Amazon warehouses. And it's free two-day shipping.
Wow.
So, and the thing is, yeah, it's like $75 or
something. Probably worth it, though.
But the thing is, yeah, because especially as you start nearing like the holidays and stuff, or even if, you know, over the course of a year, just going, I want to buy this book.
Yeah.
And you don't feel any compulsion to like buy extra crap, you know, to get the free shipping because you're buying over $25.
But you don't
want
to pay $6 to have it
right.
sent to you.
Yeah. And so you can just go click and you're just paying whatever the thing costs.
Well, especially on Amazon where it's like sometimes like you'll do that thing of buying something where the thing is like $2.99. But you can't get it at a brick and mortar, so like you have to buy it online because they don't sell it anywhere, like computer components and cables and crap that you just can't find anywhere. And then the shipping of the thing is more than the thing itself, so that sucks. Yeah. So it would be worth it just for that.
Yeah, and then Amazon, they do have the function when you're searching for something, you can say, and now only show me things that ship Amazon Prime. So, and sometimes you end up having to buy something that you do end up having had to pay shipping for. But if you buy a lot of books. You know, and many of the electronics and stuff ship through their warehouses, and it can be kind of a good deal.
Let's do two more here.
Okay, James Mee, the Los Angeles Sheriff's deputy who stopped Mel Gibson on suspicion of drunk driving in Malibu in 2006, has been given legal clearance from a judge to sue his employer for discrimination, retaliation, and harassment. Mee charges that his superiors pressured him to retract details of the anti-Semitic rant he claimed Mel Gibson gave at the time of his drunken arrest. Since the incident, Mee claims he was transferred and has been passed over for promotion. We dispute his allegations and look forward to telling our story, says Steve Whitmore, a spokesperson for the LA County Sheriff's Department.
Hey, did that, I don't know, Beaver something movie with Mel Gibson ever come out? Is the Jodie Foster thing?
I think it was at Sundance.
It hasn't been released though.
Yeah, it's been slated for release, but it hasn't actually come out yet. It actually looks good because Jodie Foster directed it,
right?
And it looks really interesting.
He's crazy and talks to a beaver puppet or something. Right. But you said it was actually really. The premise seemed really interesting.
Yeah,
to you.
Premise seems really interesting. And early word was that it's actually good. It's just that you know the. the timing was wrong for a movie to be released with Mel Gibson playing a crazy guy.
Well, when is, I mean, really, doesn't that, isn't that like an ongoing state of things? Like, when will the timing ever again be right?
Well,
for...
you know, right after one of his rants or arrests is probably, or beatings of his wife is probably a good time.
Because of Jews.
Because of Jews.
There you go. Let's do one more here and then okay. We'll wrap it up.
Randy Quaid, wanted in the United States for several outstanding warrants, can stay in Canada for the time being now that his wife, Evie, is officially a Canadian citizen. On February 16th, the inadmissibility proceedings against Randy Quaid were formally withdrawn by Canada. Randy no longer faces any impediments to his presence there. Evie's Canadian citizenship was formally recognized, and she received her citizenship card on February 10th. She's formally applied to sponsor her husband, and it's anticipated that Randy Quaid will be granted his permanent resident status in due course and before the refugee claim is scheduled.
God damn. You know, it would be so great if Canada seems like the place for Randy Quaid. I mean, he just seems like an honorary Canadian somehow. I don't know why. He's got that kind of Canadian sensibility going on.
That's one of those stories that is so weird. It feels like you had to make it up in your own head in some kind of a fever dream thing. Randy Quaid and his wife on the run from the law.
Well, you know,
refugees in Canada.
Here's the thing about that, though, is that there was that whole, they were talking about how there was like some cabal that was going to have them killed and there was, you know, they were going to get whacked. And I remember that he fled to Canada. That was like a week before what's-her-name got shot four times in the head outside of Chasen's or something.
Yeah, so
there's a whole lot of a, what if Randy Quaid is really, what if he's like Steve McQueen in The Blob? He's the only one who really truly sees the danger and the sheriff just won't listen to him. All right. Hey, did you see they raised enough money to buy that RoboCop statue?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, we'll talk
about
that next hour. Let's see. Well, it's time to do this. And that is to bring the curtain down on this episode of Legion of News, which comes to you live each and every weekday from the studios of the Emerson News Network, high above the Milkpacking District here in glorious Southeast Portland, Oregon. At the news desk, it's Don Taylor. Advanced technology and magic provided by Mr. Thomas Gill. Executive producer Bruce Agler. Chief of staff is Cheryl Kanakoa. After a brief musical interlude, we'll have an... I'm doing the end of the thing now. After a brief musical interlude, we'll have today's Rick Emerson radio program happening over at rickemersonshow.com. It is at rickemersonshow.com. And this program available later on today via iTunes or as a direct MP3 download here or at legionofnews.com. So thank you for listening. Have a safe and fantastic Wednesday, Thursday. Is today Wednesday or Thursday? I think your brain thing is catching. Yes. Thank you. Have a fantastic Thursday. We'll see you again tomorrow. That is Friday at noon for another exciting installment of Legion of News.